keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and in about 20 so minutes or so, we're going to hear from today's guest. Had 5 o'clock guest had a scheduling issue, and we're having to push them back. And Andrew Schaefer is going to be with us this hour. I think it was about a year ago. Wasn't it a year ago when he was on?
About that, yeah.
Okay. Andrew Schaefer wrote a different kind of book. It's different. It's different in that, you know, when I say these two names, you're going to think they're political. But it's different. It's just different. He's the author of Hope Never Dies. So, and these action heroes are former President Obama and former Vice President Biden. So I said it's different, and it's different. So we're going to hear from Andrew about his book, his Hope Never Dies, and Hope Rides Again is the new one. So anyway, did I just hear Ron's story say that the students, if they boo the president, he can dish it, but he can't take it, Trump?
Of course, that's what's going on.
Would lose their... Did I hear that?
I'm sure you did.
Dear leader. It's dear leader this and dear leader that. It's just, you know...
He's going to be in trouble next week, then.
Well... Well, you mean like being booed or being... grilled, or
well, you know, with the truth, with the hearings being
the truth creeps out.
The public hearings starting next week that will be televised. Yeah,
yeah,
all the scrutiny that are coming.
So the revolution will be televised.
His worst nightmare.
Wow. And the that was announced today. House Democrats say they've drawn a subpoena for testimony. They withdrawn it from testimony from the former deputy national security advisor as part of their impeachment inquiry. The Democrats say in court papers filed today that they have no plans to try to compel the testimony of Charles Kupperman. As the pace of the impeachment inquiry quickens, with public hearings scheduled to begin next week. So there will be so many people glued to their tubes. And I would suggest, for the sake of accuracy and knowledge, that you do not just depend on the right TV station network just solely, because it's going to be a skewing of really what's going
for sure.
On. So you actually be in a la la land and not even.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
I can hear it now.
You think they'll play old?
There's nothing wrong with.
They'll play old episodes of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, of course.
Or you know, Lost in Space.
Of course, of course. It was okay to impeach President Clinton because he lied about having an affair with his, you know.
Intern.
Right. But no, there's nothing wrong with bribing and strong arming and what's the terminology? What's the street term for that?
I mean, he's corruption.
Corrupt,
he's the king.
But the street terminology for bribing. extortion. That's what it is. Why can't, there's nothing wrong with extorting another government to investigate your political opponent. There's nothing wrong with that.
Of course not.
You can use a foreign government to come in into the United States.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can do. He's the president. He's got latitude. Yeah, he can do that. But lying about having sex with your intern? No, you can't do that.
Please.
Can't do that.
No. And you can pay off porn stars.
Oh, that's right. You can do that.
But you can't.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
And your attorney can go to jail for it. And you don't have to, even though you're the person who told him to do it and you wrote the check and we got the check.
Right.
Yeah, we can prove that.
And you ask him to do it.
That's right. You can get away with that. People love you anyway.
Why would he go to jail? I mean, like, what in the world?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
he must be crazy.
And his spiritual leaders, whoever they are, find nothing wrong with any of this behavior.
Oh, it's all in the Bible,
It's all biblical. Yeah, and God's hand is all on this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because somebody back in the Old Testament did it. They did it. And they led the people.
Perfect example for your children. Yeah, as you sit in Sunday school, you hold him up as an example right next to Christ. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's it. At the cross.
Yeah. There's Trump and then there's Christ. Let's look at their behaviors and let's teach them in Sunday school. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. That's what they're going to believe. So if you only believe, and, you know, that's what you believe. But for the rest of us that do believe.
Well, Kentucky got it.
Can see that we're going to be watching and paying attention.
Yeah, Kentucky got sense.
We'll see.
Common sense. Oh, my gosh. Look how they took it together.
We'll see. You know, they only went so far with it, though.
Well,
anyway, that's true.
It went pretty far.
That's true. That was a shock.
Yeah.
Last night, it really was. It was a nail biter almost. That in nearby Kentucky, that happened. It was really, really, really a surprise.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what I was saying about the former deputy national security advisor who. Was going to get the subpoena and is not now going to get one. Kupperman, Charles Kupperman is his name. He may have listened in on the July telephone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president that sparked the impeachment inquiry. Kupperman had asked a judge to decide whether he had to appear before Congress over the White House's objections. Democrats say U.S. District Richard Leon, you know, that's married to Beyonce's mama.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just thinking about him. I don't know
why. I was thinking about the guy from Family Feud from back in the day. And that's Dawson.
Yeah. He should now dismiss Kupperman's case since he's no longer facing a subpoena. So, it's going to get so terribly interesting. In the coming days, I just hope that people do as much as possible pay attention to what's going on and not have a thousand excuses of, well, you know, things are important or it's this and that. Because this stuff is impacting you. You just you haven't even figured it out in ways that you haven't even figured out yet. And that's, the part that is so very disturbing is, you know, what you don't pay attention to today comes back on you tomorrow. So staying, you know, paying attention is something that you as Americans, we have to do. We just can't walk around like a bunch of entitled people. Who do we think we are? We're not the president. Anyway, before I move any further, are you all right today?
I am, and yourself?
I'm an hour and 15 minutes and I didn't ask you.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm doing good. I mean, you know, it's just kind of hectic. I'm making some observations on, you know, just with different people I've been having discussions and conversations about. Or they just been bringing it up or whatever about getting back into, you know, almost stealing your time from social media.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to claim your time back because it eats you up.
It can.
You know, it eats up. And, you know, that some workplaces have decided that, you know, no texting and no cell phones at work, or during, you know, you can't be sitting up on the phone, on the cell phone, and texting and all that when you're supposed to be concentrating on your job.
Mm-hmm.
And that new policy has really shocked a lot of people. And and it's as a result of this thing that I, because I see it in the students, they're so distracted, they can't even stack a piece of paper one on top of another, that they have that much distraction. And it's gotten worse over the years. You know, with the seeing different generations come in to work here with us, and seeing how, you know, it has impacted a lot of things. So I was wondering when the workplace was going to kind of catch up to that factor.
Social,
That, you know, the phone thing, the addiction to the phone thing is impacting getting things done, and it's a source of such a distraction. It's almost like driving your car with your eyes closed. I'm just you know, when you're just, everything becomes a hodgepodge, and it's like, can you explain? No, I can't explain. I mean, it's just, it's this thing. So I just had mentioned this to somebody last week, and they were talking about the policy that in their workplace, that they just, because it had become such a problem.
Such an issue, yeah.
Yeah, with the staff. So I don't know. We'll have to see how, you know, how things turn out in the future with distractions in the workplace and things of that nature. Because y'all are having a heck of a time trying to juggle, okay? You can't juggle like you think you can. And it's obvious in your stuff that you're doing. Are you ready for homecoming?
Are
you ready for some football?
Football, yeah, that too, right? Yeah, there's the campus is a buzz. I see a lot of activity going on. Yeah. I see the catering people moving to and fro. There's music on the campus. The students are out jamming. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it is a lot. And they have, you know, Friday, we're probably going to hear from one or two of these people that may come by, you know, Rael Dowdell.
That's right. It's been a long time.
I know it.
Wow.
What was the movie?
Train Ride.
Yeah. Rael Dowdell. Yeah. He was on the show, Lord, way back.
I bet we still got that. I'm going to see, where would that film be? I mean, that footage. Back at the other station.
That's where it's at. Somewhere in the archives. Yep. Somewhere. But, well, you know, actually he was here too.
He swung by, but that was like when we first got here. Yeah, I think before we were able to,
But he's doing a movie or documentary he's bringing to the campus on Friday on social justice called Where's Daddy?
Hmm.
And, you know, a lot of folks ask that question.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm pretty much thinking that's why he's addressing it, because it is a question that comes up in households and with families all over the country and, for the most part, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be seeing what he's going to, you know, present, and you're welcome to attend that event on Friday. It's going to be at in Park Johnson on the first floor in room 122. And Rael is Philadelphia? Is he Philly?
That's where he was before, unless he's moved. I think he's still in Philly.
Okay, yeah. So he'll be arriving this probably Friday morning or Thursday.
Right.
And then on Saturday, Ilyasha Shabazz.
Yeah.
Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz's daughter, Ilyasha, will be speaking Saturday morning at 9. She'll be in the chapel.
Okay.
Saturday morning at 9.
Okay.
So if you want to hear her, and you know, Ilyasha's been on the show before.
That's right.
For her books on her dad, she wrote books. And I've interviewed her a couple of times. I'm looking forward to seeing her. And, you know, we hope that she can swing by sometime on Friday to, you know, say a word. Anyway, so that's two things you might want to consider. As well as Friday night, there's a Black Mass Choir reunion and concert in the chapel. So there's musical events and social justice and culture events, and the Black Mass Choir reunion and concert is at 7:30 in the chapel. I didn't know there was such a thing, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll find out about that. Anyway, and then the Yard Fest is that starts at 11, and the games women at 3, men at 5. So it's this and it's that. And it's the time of year, the favorite time of year for many of the institutions. And it's homecoming. TSU was a couple weeks ago. This weekend it's Fisk University. And tomorrow it'll be somebody. Next weekend it'll be somebody else or somewhere else. Anyway, let's take a time out. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This Movember, here's to the straggly mustaches, the lopsided ones, the oddly sexy ones, the itchy, patchy, raggedy ones, the peach fuzz ones, the hey, I look good with this ones, the scruffy ones, the black, blonde, red, and gray ones, the ones grown by Dad, the ones grown for Dad. They all raise awareness, raise funds, start conversations, and save lives. Because whatever you grow, will save a bro. Learn more at Movember.com.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. 440 eastbound's already busy trying to get past the 65 split. Out here trying to squeeze through that construction. Echo Hill there at Woodmont Boulevard, that's out west. That's one of the latest wrecks. It's really busy now. 65 up through Madison as you make your way up past OHB all the way to Vietnam Vets. This traffic report brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. You should be at the center of your own health care, and we are here to help you. Call the Nashville Healthcare Center today and make an appointment with one of our primary care providers, 615-341-4488, or visit us on the web at nashvillehealthcarecenter.com.
On the next Jazz Night in America, celebrating vocalist, pianist, composer Andy Bay at 80.
I'm a person that likes to take risks. I would like to be remembered in the sense that I was a communicator.
With music from a never-before-heard concert from 2002. I'm Christian McBride. That's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up.
Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and also brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. A couple of notes, and in a few minutes here, we're going to be speaking to or hearing from Andrew Schaefer, and he has a new book. It's the crime-fighting duo of Obama and Biden. I told you earlier, this is a different book. It's different. It's quite different. Because your mind goes and, you know, depending on how you feel about things. But these characters in his book are action heroes. Okay?
So, we need them now.
Yeah, right. Save us, please. So we'll be chatting here, have him in with me in a few minutes. And during the break, I got a lovely email from... let me get the correct name. One of our excellent Radiothon volunteers.
Okay.
Bonetta Bonnie Bond.
All right.
Who is the Regulatory Compliance and Accounting Manager in the Employment Tax Department at HCA Healthcare. And for the last couple of years, she has been a lovely volunteer here on the Radiothon weekends to help us with those skills that she has from working at that place. And that subsequently, her volunteering that Friday and Saturday netted the station a $400 donation.
Wow.
From HCA Giving and Volunteering Community.
Well, yeah, that is so awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. So that, you know, I'm glad HCA does that and has their employees active and doing that kind of stuff. And thank you, Bonetta, Bonnie Bond, for being a blessing straight up. If your company does something like that, you know, think about us. We could certainly use that that hand and that, you know, that donation to support the station. That is a blessing. So ask your company that you work for. You know, these big corporations are here and their headquarters and et cetera. You know, I'm sure that they have something lined up at these companies for the employees to reach back into the communities. And let's hope it's a match or equivalent or designation like this. But do inquire about that, because it is absolutely a blessing to see. And I wanted her to know, it just came well out. Because I said, you need to, you know, I know it goes into this thing, and then later on I see it. I'm like, you know, when you send the thing, you tell me at that minute so I can make sure that I give you the thanking that you deserve. Because that's really a good idea to do that. Don't you think Amazon should have something like that?
And, yeah, most definitely.
You know, I would think, and all those other big ones that are coming in, those, I wonder if UPS does, or... what's the other one? FedEx?
FedEx, UPS.
Mm-hmm. What else is big here?
DSL. Right now I'm seeing more and more Amazon trucks.
Yeah.
So that's just...
But I mean corporations.
Corporations.
What else is big?
Here in the city. Don't we have automakers? Yeah. Is Saturn still open?
No. Think so. Do they still make silence?
I don't know. No, they were a big. Maybe they switched over to something else. Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah.
But if they don't have it like that, they should have it for the employees, you know, that want to work, you know, be a blessing to the community. And, you know, then the community gets the double.
Yep,
you
that's
know,
right.
We get the her working and, you know, helping us.
Yeah.
And then we get the equivalent donation. That's cool. I'm cool
it
with
is.
That. That's beautiful. So ask your workplace if they too have a community program like HCA does. Now, you know, Veterans Day is coming.
Yes, it is.
And it's coming up on Monday. And in advance, I tell all the veterans, we so much love and appreciate your service and everything that you have done. The folks at down the street, our neighbors at the Tennessee State Museum, are having, they're closed on Monday because it's a holiday. It's, you know, it's the official day and all. That they are having Sunday, something that many of you may want to go to, at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. The Tennessee State Museum has a Veterans Day event remembering Tuskegee Airmen William J. Faulkner, Jr. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And it doesn't say how long it lasts, but basically description here says, through the story of William J. Faulkner, Jr., Dr. Chris McCuster, professor, co-executive director of Oral History Association at MTSU, discusses patriotism, heroism, and how we remember our veterans that gave the ultimate sacrifice. William Billy J. Faulkner was a Tennessean who heroically served and perished in World War II. A North Nashville native and graduate of Pearl High School, Faulkner was serving as a Tuskegee Airman when he was shot down over Austria on his 56th mission. So that is beautiful. And go ahead on in the memory of this wonderful man, William J. Faulkner, Jr., a Tuskegee Airman all the way from North Nashville. So they're going to have that event going on this on Sunday afternoon after some of y'all get out of church or off from work, starting at 2 o'clock. So be sure to, and I do believe it's free.
Okay.
So what might be
free, 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 free?
Oh, yeah. So you just get on over there and check that out.
That's right.
So, well, you got any big Veterans Day plans?
No, other than finding the restaurants that...
of course.
Free, yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's the Veterans Day hustle, huh?
Yes. Yes. Breakfast here, lunch there, dinner there.
I know. Maybe I'm going to find my daddy's uniform.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's for sure. And you know what? while I'm in the news mode, I got my news hat on now. I want to say, I know I charge $50 for shout out, but I want to go on and give a shout out to President Rome, including the radio station in his newsletter.
Great.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you. It's in his little monthly thing.
Okay, monthly letter? Okay.
Yeah,
to I saw it earlier, but I didn't friends. Get to read it all. Okay.
Well, down in about the third paragraph.
Okay.
And I said, I noticed the call letters. I'm like, Lord, what did we do?
That's us.
We did good stuff. Yeah. Thank you for including us in there. Praise the Lord. You know, we certainly earned it. So that was a nice, nice thing to see. Anyway, now we got, I got to do one more thing, and then I'm moving into Andrew. I had mentioned earlier about what the weather was going to be looking like for this weekend with the homecoming and all that this week, etc. Even though it was very cloudy, It says, you know, our chances increase the later it gets of rain tonight. At about, it'll go up to about 70% later on. And our low this evening will be about 58. We're in the 50s for a lot of this week. It's cooler, getting much cooler. And as the rain comes, it kind of changes everything because tomorrow showers and 55. So today is probably going to be the warmest it's been for a little while.
Mm.
And then on Friday, 45. Now let's start to get socks and sweaters and jackets. And then Saturday, 54. So we're back up on the weekend looking good. Looking good. So Saturday, you can get your sunshine. And Sunday, you got your sunshine and in the 60s. So that's not bad.
It's not. It's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was nice and warm. It was almost 70 degrees.
I predict, though, like as soon as that sunlight go down on Saturday,
As soon as
that
sun
starts,
It's definitely on.
Ooh, all of a sudden, it got chillier. Yes, it
Oh, yeah. You can't go out in the sleeveless top and everything thinking you're going to be the same when you get home. Anyway, okay, let's take this break, this last break, and then we're going to hear about the crime-fighting story. The ultimate crime-fighting duo. And give you something to laugh at on your way home. Andrew Schaefer, Hope Rides Again, is his latest book. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. Will you volunteer to help people like Richard, a U.S. Naval veteran who suffered severe PTSD after his service? He was left homeless for a period of time, and his oral and overall health are suffering. Because of congressional limitations, the VA can't provide the dental help he needs. Through our Will You See One Vet program, we focus on helping U.S. military veterans like Richard. Now we are seeking more general dentists and specialists to donate treatment to at least one veteran with special needs. When you volunteer with DLN's program to see one vet, we handle the details so you can focus on the care. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message and help us make a difference in the life of a veteran in need. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, we're celebrating two birthdays.
That's what I want to give them, a show.
That's Miss Jody.
They had it made up just like Bobby Rush. When I walked in, I thought it was me.
And that's Bobby Rush. Their birthdays are this weekend, the 10th. And we're having big fun with them. Join me, Roisin Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend, right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
It is always good to check back in with some of the authors since there have been so many on the show over the years. and see what's up with them. And one of them is with me today, and he is Andrew Schaefer. Now, you may remember Andrew was with us last year. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and last year's book was Hope Never Dies. And it was caught my eye first by looking at the cover, because the Hope Never Dies had Barack Obama and Joe Biden on the cover, and it just turned out to be just the opposite of what I thought. So I enjoyed the interview with Andrew and asked him to come back to be with us to tell us about his latest, Hope Rides Again. And this is an Obama-Biden mystery. And Andrew, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Sharon?
I'm excellent. Now, what you been doing for the last year? I see your creativity has been in full effect.
Last year I've been writing the sequel, and I was on a book tour last summer, July and August. I'm on a book tour for this one, July and August, and in between I somehow found time to write the book and edit the book, and gosh, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky from Lexington, Kentucky.
And oh, wow.
So I've it's been a busy year.
Oh, definitely.
So
you have had time, though busy as it was, to take us to the next level in the Hope story. And if many of you are just now hearing about this mystery thing, you're like, what are they talking about? Andrew, let me have you back up to the story and how you tell it. This is not real. It's purely his imagination, y'all. I want to tell you this, none of this happened. So go ahead and start.
If you're looking at the new book and you see Barack Obama dangling from a helicopter, you know, rescuing Joe Biden from a boat, that's not real. The books are sort of like Sherlock and Watson mysteries, with Joe Biden as Watson narrating the books, and Obama is sort of like the cool guy who usually is one step ahead of Joe Biden. But they're actually real murder mysteries. I mean, not real, but I treat them very seriously as murder mysteries. But at the same hand, you know, they're very fun characters in there. So it's, you know, some people will look at it and say, oh, that looks like a joke. And I say, well, you know, pick it up, start reading it, and see what you think, because it really is a serious mystery, and you go through, you know, it's like any other, like Agatha Christie or whatever. It's a whodunit.
Yeah.
And hopefully people, you know, they'll pick it up based on who the characters are, but hopefully they'll keep reading because of the mystery. And the first one, it was an Amtrak conductor passed away, and Joe Biden and Barack Obama had to find out who had killed this Amtrak conductor, because no one else believed that the Amtrak conductor was killed except for them. And in the second book, they're on the trail of Barack's stolen BlackBerry. We all remember his famous BlackBerry phone that the Secret Service would not let him use while he was in the White House. So he's got this phone, and now he's lost it. But, you know, as of course Joe Biden is in town, they're in Chicago, and as soon as they start to investigate, they see there's they find the thief has been shot, and there's this huge conspiracy. So, so the books start off, you know, fairly small, but it gets into some pretty absurd scenarios as they go on.
So, since your imagination is as vivid as it is, what has been the reaction of the characters, and having those two real life people that were bigger than life in this country be action figures? What, because these illustrations look very much like them, you know, of today. So what are people what were they saying to you on the tour?
People have said stuff like, thank you for writing these, and you know, we really need hope today. and you know, and they wish that Barack Obama was back in the White House, and I'm like, join the club. And then I've had a lot of people also from an opposite side of the political spectrum say, I was not a fan of Barack Obama, but I read the book and I really enjoyed the mystery. So there's not a whole lot of politics in the books. They're really just stories. They're really just mysteries featuring them as characters. But they're not sitting around discussing politics or mm-hmm, anything. Mm-hmm. It's just two people, you know.
Two characters with two popular names.
yeah. So it's interesting. And like I said, yeah, it's not necessarily what people might think based on the cover. Mm. But well, I do love the covers though, because they're very vivid.
Oh, no question. Oh yeah, definitely. And it looks just like them. Dressed just like they would dress. You know, that's what makes you really open it up to see what's going on inside. As a result of your first book and, of course, the latest, Hope Rides Again, have either one of them ever said anything to you or sent you any notes or correspondence or ha-has or LOLs or any of that stuff?
I haven't heard from Barack Obama, but I do know that we got him a copy. I did hear from Joe last year. One of Joe's people got a hold of me and said, hey, Joe wants to talk to you. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if this is good or not. He wants to talk to me. And anyway, when he came to town in Kentucky, he met with me, and he just had really nice things to say. Wow. And he thought the book looked funny, and he actually signed a copy for me.
Wow.
Which was probably a first for me, at least. I've never had one of my own characters sign a book for me.
No kidding.
So he thought it was funny, and you know, I think and I know that, you know, Obama was not, I don't think he was offended by it or anything. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if either of them have read it, because it would be kind of weird reading a book if you were someone was portraying you as a fictional character.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't get mad and curse, you know.
right.
How dare you? Now let's start with some stuff here in Hope Rides Again. You have a lot of the facts, though, that, you know, I think most people can relate to. In Chapter 9, you talk about the Obama Chicago home was in Hyde Park, and you kind of litter these little truths throughout the book, don't you?
Yeah. There's little stuff that's true. And you know, they go to Obama's favorite bookstore, 57th Street Books, in there. They go to his favorite diner that's nearby. They go to, you know, there's little truths there, and I think that's what makes it mostly believable, is that if you get the little details right, people will kind of read along and play along with the bigger picture too. So they're more likely to accept that, you know. I mean, I think the biggest thing I got wrong in this book that I fixed, but in an early draft, I had a United airplane at the Midway airport, and someone's like, oh, no, that's a Southwest airport. Like, oh, I'm like, you didn't bat an eye at the fact that Joe Biden and Barack Obama are investigating a murder mystery, but put the wrong airplane at the wrong airport. Oh, boy.
All right. People have their priorities, don't they?
right. It's so weird.
Now, let me ask you a little bit about a couple of the chapters. In Chapter 10, this will be on page 62. You write, the task should have been easy. Find Barack's BlackBerry. Find the shooter. What's going on in this section?
Oh, yeah. There's so they're on the trail of the BlackBerry, and they think that the BlackBerry thief, well, they find who they think is the BlackBerry thief, and they've been shot. However, they're still alive, but they're not able to respond and, you know, say who shot them.
Uh-huh.
But the BlackBerry then is also missing from the thief, so they think that someone shot the thief to get the BlackBerry.
Huh.
So what starts as, you know, just on the trail of the BlackBerry soon turns into, well, who shot that person?
Uh-huh.
And then, as soon as they catch that person, they're like, oh, well, and pretty soon,
uh-huh.
you know, you've got them in the middle of a big conspiracy,
uh-huh.
which involves different drugs and guns and stuff. So,
uh-huh.
it does sort of spiral out of control.
Yeah.
And I think for a mystery novel, it's pretty standard, or a mystery thriller, it's uh-huh. pretty standard stuff. But yeah, so it's not all just fun and games uh-huh. in the books. That's what I said when I said there's a real mystery in there.
Yeah. Now in chapter 19, by this time, which is on 104, if I took the Firebird, there was a good chance I could poke my nose around Pastor Brown's church and be back before Brock knew I'd even gone anywhere. What was he up to?
So Joe Biden likes to sort of ditch Barack a lot in the books because he likes to go out and do things on his own. And in the book, Barack Obama has a friend who's a pastor that Joe thinks that the pastor might be up to some shady stuff. And so he feels that he has to go behind Barack Obama's back and sort of, poke his nose around this warehouse where this pastor's operating out of. So you've got some stuff in these books where these aren't real people in their lives, but I've kind of placed them there, where they're questioning each other's friends and stuff, and so you don't know if at the end of the story, whether Brock and Joe are going to be on the same page or not, and that's one of the mysteries of the story is are they going to resolve their friendship by the end of it.
And there's been some instances in these chapters where it almost could have gone that way, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think that, that's what's on, I did have someone tell me, they're like, you better tell me if they're friends at the end because otherwise I'm not picking up. And I'm like, well, I don't think it's a spoiler to say, of course they're going to be, it's like a romance. So you better tell me they get together at the end. Of course they do. But, of course they find the bad guy. But the it's all about taking that journey with those characters and, and it's an emotional journey. And again, that's why I say these books, it's not just a joke. It's really a take on, what friendship means mm-hmm. I think it's a different take than it's not just them going around punching bad guys or something.
Yeah. Now in chapter 30, this is kind of funny to me. You write, and I guess this is in the conversation between the two of them. You want to know why I wore that tan suit today. And, everybody knows good and well he got beat up for wearing tan suits. People had everything he did, they had a problem with. But them tan suits, people really didn't like them.
What was going on there? Someone that said it was a member of Congress said it was a national security issue because wearing a tan suit projects weakness to the enemies, and it was just really strange because I think presidents have worn tan suits before, but
right.
I think we were so used to seeing Barack Obama as this cool character in this black suit all mm-hmm. the time or this blue suit, and then he shows up in this. This really kind of laid-back, summery tan suit, and all of a sudden people just freaked out. They couldn't handle it, and what a scandal. And so, I, of course, on the cover of this new book, the tan suit's on there,
yes.
and the tan suit, again, throughout the book, Barack Obama's wearing the tan suit.
But right.
At the end, he reveals why he wears it, which is, it's because he's tired of being so cool all the time. He wants to just be kind of laid back Barack Obama.
Yeah. It's so interesting that kind of stuff used to get people all in a kerfluffle, and nowadays that's light compared to what the mental stuff, illness stuff we got to go through now. You know,
I just wish it was the freaking out over the suit. I mean, that would be so
No kidding.
You know, freaking out over even George Bush doesn't like broccoli. Back in the day, that was months of discussion about what happens when the president says he doesn't like broccoli.
Right. Know? Oh, my God, it's a crisis.
I just miss those days.
Yeah, me too, honey. Me too. I got to tell you, those were the days. Now, those were definitely the days. And the train is so far off the track now, it's no way to see. So we needed a little laugh break.
At the end of the day, that's what the books are.
Exactly. Today's book is Hope Rides Again, and the author is Andrew Schaefer, and it's an Obama-Biden mystery. And I was, let me go into 45, because chapter 45, because this is where it begins with, when I came to Michelle Obama, you write, was kneeling over me. I was on my back in so much pain that I couldn't pinpoint one place that hurt on my body. It all hurt. Michelle had a concerned look on her face. What was going on there?
Joe Biden has just climbed, I think, I don't remember how many stairs in the book, 40 flights of stairs in the Chicago Tribune Tower, because he's trying to get to Barack Obama, and he can't take the elevator because he doesn't have like a key card for the elevator. So we do a lot of gags in the books where we talk about how, you know, how old Joe Biden is, and I mean, he's an old guy, but he is in phenomenal shape. I'll say he's probably got better knees than I do, and I'm 40. So I think that it's just in good fun though. But yeah, we put him through the ringer in the books. He gets an exercise. He gets a good workout.
Well, I do hope that the audience picks it up. And, you know, engages in a little bit of laughter. Y'all need to exhale and just calm down about it, you know, before you lose your mind. And Andrew's already said they don't end as enemies.
Yeah. We calm down.
Right. Because I can hear somebody now, why did you do it like that? You know, that is so interesting. Anyway, is this series going to ride forever?
Well, I don't know if it'll ride forever, but, you know, there might be one more ride in them. We're kind of waiting to see what happens, I think, with the Joe Biden and the presidential primaries and stuff, so I can... you know, get a good good angle on the next book, I think.
Oh, definitely. So. Definitely. Because the word hope might be, it might have to change depending on what he picks as his descriptive that's going to give us our task for the future. It just depends. Mm-hmm. So your imagination is going to be working overtime.
I'm going to need some extra coffee.
No kidding. And so you're off on the tour for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah. Going on tour the rest of the year. Uh-huh. And I think I'm stopping in Nashville.
Really?
In August 19th at a place called The Bookshop in East Nashville.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, I'm doing 28 cities on this tour. So
excellent.
Starting off with Chicago.
Okay, well, I hope that the Nashvillians come out to meet you.
I hope so. We had a packed house last time. It's great. I live just up the road in Louisville, so I do love Nashville. And I dial my southern accent up a little bit.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, since Tennessee and Kentucky are so close. Well, I'm happy to know that you've got a date set for Nashville. You said that's August 19th?
Yep, August 19th. It's a place called The Bookshop.
Okay.
In East Nashville.
Excellent.
East Nashville.
And, Andrew, if somebody wants to follow the story and... or follow your work, what's the best way of how to do it, and where is the book available?
Yeah, they can just, you know, just Google Hope Rides Again or go to your local bookstore or library and you can pick up a copy. If they want to follow me, they can find all the links for social media and stuff on my website, which is Andrew Schaefer, SHAFFER.com.
Excellent. Well, I know people that love thrillers and they love to follow in series and stories and series, etc. So if you were with us on the first interview, Hope Never Dies, an Obama-Biden mystery, he's back with number two in the series. This one is Hope Rides Again, an Obama-Biden mystery. Andrew Schaefer, best-selling author, thank you so much. And as always, I wish you only the very best. Well, I'm so glad that I got a laugh out of y'all this afternoon. Because, you know, when we were talking and I recorded him because he was on tour. And that was from a couple of months ago. So he's already been here and gone. But, you know, just the thought of having to worry about a tan suit is have to worry about, you know, the Russians, the Ukrainians, and all the Rudy Giuliani and all the insaneness that's going on. It's just, oh, let's get back to worrying about tan suits, y'all. Let's worry about the mundane, not this national security disaster we have. I mean, it's like, that was just such a relief.
I know.
You know,
yes, that's right.
Right. Feel 1,000 pounds coming off of you.
Yeah, the dad pants.
Yo, yeah, yeah. That's the kind of stuff Americans want to worry about. We don't want to worry about, are we being listened to? Russia, are you listening? We don't want you listening. Attention. Anyway. So thank you, Andrew, for taking us back, flashback to the day. Those were the days. Anyway, that is all that we have for you. I want to remind you that Veterans Day is coming next week. And love a veteran. Thank a veteran. And pray for a veteran. Let's go up to the top of the hour. And you all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.